Michael Zappone joins me from Fox Sports. Hello, Zappers.
G'day, Kev. How are you?
I'm going well. Yourself?
Yeah, really well, thanks.
Good weekend in the A-League. Some interesting results. Interesting developments. I guess the one that stood out to me first up before we talk about the expansion and all those things that are going on. But Ernie Merrick pulling the pin at Wellington and taking full responsibility for where the team's at the minute.
Yeah, really interesting, isn't it? And not hugely surprising. I was there on Sunday and at Adelaide beat Wellington for their first win of the season after nine rounds, which meant pretty much that Wellington at our bottom of the table. And Ernie Merrick recruited really well in the off-season. He brought in Guy Finkler and Costa Barbarousis as the two big-name players who would help catapult them up the table, but it just hasn't worked and hasn't come to fruition. He hasn't got the best out of his players yet, and he said after the game that, you know, that's something that has been a huge concern for the club, that they've recruited well but haven't had an impact on the field. And, you know, good on him for taking responsibility. You just get the sense in this type of scenario that perhaps, you know, an ultimatum was made to him and results weren't coming. And if a result didn't happen on Sunday against Adelaide, then perhaps that was time for him to step aside. And I did speak to him after the game, and after the interview on Fox Sports, we had a chat off camera, and he said, "Well, watch this space. I think there's going to be some developments in the next few hours." And from that, I sort of thought that, you know, he was probably going to make that call, or and the other call would be to make a big decision and drop some big name players that haven't had an impact. So in the end, he's taken the fall, and he's been a great coach over the years at Melbourne Victory, an outstanding record there. He's done some good things at Wellington, but ultimately, you know, they haven't got the results that they needed this year, considering the strength of their squad.
Now, given that the two names you mentioned, the two Victory boys that went over there in different circumstances, so obviously Costa Barbarousis went back over there as their franchise player. Guy Finkler dissatisfied and upset with missing out on the Asian Cup campaign with the Victory. Have they both produced for Wellington from what you've seen of them this year?
No, they haven't, and that's one of the key issues, the problems that the Wellington Phoenix face. You know, Costa Barbarousis hasn't scored a goal. Guy Finkler hasn't scored a goal. Both of them were very good for Melbourne Victory in previous years, and Roy Krishna, who's the Fijian international, has scored five of Wellington's six goals this season. So the heavy reliance on him to produce.
And he missed one on the weekend.
Yeah, he missed a penalty on the weekend. It was a good save by Galekovic, but it wasn't a great penalty, to be honest. And he'd almost missed one the previous week against Melbourne City. It was saved by Dean Bazanis, and then he tapped it in off the rebound. So in that case, you think, well, if you've missed one the previous week, someone else should step up. But Krishna stood up on the weekend and missed it. So that was a turning point in that game, because that was early on. Wellington could have been 1-0 up away from home against Adelaide, who hadn't won a game, and that could have really changed things. And perhaps Ernie Merrick still would have been in a job as a result. But to answer your question, no, Finkler and Barbarousis have not had the impact that they would have thought they should have this part of the season. So I'll bring in a new coach, and they've got the numbers, they've got the squad. It's a good squad, and they should be in the top six and playing finals this year.
I saw them, as you did, when they lost 6-1 to Victory at Etihad Stadium. And with due respect to all concerned, they look like a third division side playing in a back league somewhere. They looked a rabble.
Yeah, and that was you know, the worst performance we've seen from them this season. Apart from that, they've been very competitive, or you know, in every other game. That was one where, you know, they gave up. You know, the last 20 minutes of that game, they literally, the body language of the players was terrible. It was like a training run for Melbourne Victory, and they put a few in the back of the net in the last 20 minutes of that game. So yeah, the warning signs were definitely there. Obviously Ernie Merrick feels like he just can't make an impact, and they've decided to part ways.
Michael Zappone's with us for Alpha Barbers, Melbourne Central Hardware Lane and Flinders Lane. The expansion of the A-League, inevitable. Where do you think the first obvious move is here in Melbourne?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay.
I think if you think that, you know, you look at the crowd that Melbourne City had on the weekend, yes, it's been a busy week, three games in 6 days, but, you know, they didn't even get 10,000 to their game on the weekend against Brisbane. It's a big game. almost a top of the table clash, and for less than 10,000 people to be there tells me that I think we've reached saturation point in Melbourne. You know, Melbourne Victory pulled 16,000 to their home game on the weekend. The city less than 10. I just don't see where the appetite's going to come from. We don't have the geographical divide in Melbourne that you do have in Sydney. We don't have the stadia here in Melbourne that you have in Sydney, and you can't just plonk a team out in the growth corridor of the southeastern suburbs in Dandenong. There's just no facility out there. So you can't have three teams playing out of the one venue. Then you could argue that, you know, South Melbourne could be the team that has its own boutique stadium, has its own supporter base. I just don't think the FFA will go back to the future and bring in the NSL clubs. Yes, South Melbourne's moved on from those days. Yes, they have, you know, a fan base that is multicultural, but I just don't think the FFA will go backwards from that perspective. They'll look at new franchises, not ones that have been associated with the game in the past. And South Melbourne fans will hate me saying that, but I just get the sense that, you know, the FFA will move in a different direction in the future. So I think Tasmania is one that the FFA should consider. You know, the AFL have been there in the past, but they haven't taken the opportunity to put in a club in Tasmania. And I think, you know, there's a really strong bid behind Tasmania. The government's behind it. You've got some very, very successful businessmen from Melbourne who are behind that bid. And money's no object for them. So they want to be back involved in the game. They've already spoken to the Tasmanian government. They've got commitments to fix North Hobart Oval. My knowledge is that they would turn that into a rectangular venue for A-League games. And with the support of the government, with the support of the state of Tasmania, I think it's a no-brainer. I think that should be the first one.
Is the sport strong in Tassie, Zappers?
There aren't huge numbers of people playing the game there, but you know what we've seen is that you know, there are some you know, they've got a Premier League down there, which is good. They do have products that have come out of Tasmania. Some good footballers have come out of Tasmania, and I think when you look at the state, they don't have a team to follow in any code apart from cricket and the Big Bash. So you put a team down there playing in a national competition, I think the whole state would get behind it. They just don't have another team to follow. And come summer, when you know the Big Bash comes in and out for a few days, but you don't have a prolonged team to follow. So if you bring in a team called the Tasmanian Devils or whatever you want to call it, I just think the whole state would get behind it.
I know. I think they're such a parochial state. They're sort of a bit like Queensland and WA because they have got that little bit of remoteness away from the main states and the main cities in Sydney and Melbourne and New South Wales and Victoria. They have got that mentality, that real parochial mentality.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the two guys behind it are Harry Stamoulis and Robert Beltecchi, former Melbourne Victory board members. They are, you know, very, very successful from a business perspective. So money's no issue for them. We had them on our show a couple of weeks ago, and they spoke about the fact that, you know, they would pour a lot of money into it. They would get big marquee players in. So if you do it right, I think it'll work really well down there. So an average crowd of 10,000 a week is all you need to make it sustainable, and I think you'd get that in Tasmania. And then the 12th club, you need an even number. I think the 12th club would probably end up coming from south of Sydney, down in the Sutherland Shire. There's a really strong football community down there. It's far away enough from Sydney SC, far enough away from Western Sydney. And we saw if you expand in the right area in Sydney, you'll have an overnight success, and that happened with Western Sydney. And I think, you know, that area in Sydney would work well. So I think that's the next step for the FFA.
What about Geelong? Obviously, geographically, it ticks the box that we don't have ticked in Victoria at the moment. Would that work?
Yeah, look, that is an option. I think, you know, far away enough from the Melbourne CBD. You've got a football stadium there, which, you know, is being developed at the moment. I just get the sense it's probably too big a stadium for a team that would attract 10 or 15,000 week in, week out. I just don't think the area of Geelong would support a team to the tune of 30,000 or 40,000 a week,
yeah.
and then playing in a stadium that's half empty every week is just not what we want. We want boutique stadiums. We want 15,000-seater stadiums full every week. And I think Geelong, yes, there's a strong football community down the Surf Coast. There's a community down there. North Geelong has got a long-standing football club down there, and they'd support it. There's no doubt. But I just don't think to the degree that would make it a viable option for another franchise, at least in the initial stage of expansion. And the FFA is talking about 14, 16, 18 clubs one day. We're at 10 at the moment. So, Geelong perhaps in the long term, but I think the first step is... Probably, as I said, Tasmania and South Sydney. Yeah, and there's been talk that Brisbane is a big market. Potentially a second team in Brisbane could work as well.
Okay, and we see that for the 2018-2019 season is when that's more likely to happen.
Yeah, and I think the FFA at the moment is, in the next few days, negotiating the final stages of the television deal, and that will make a big part of the negotiations will be about expansion. TV and free-to-air TV networks will want more product to show and a more diverse product to show, because we've had 10 teams in the league now for too many years, and it does become stale when teams are playing each other three times a year, plus cup games, plus finals. You might end up playing the same team four or five or six times a year. So we do need that, diverse catchment of teams. And I think, next year is a short time frame, but I think it'd be great to see expansion happen next year. It's probably too quick, and they're looking at two seasons from now.
Okay, good on you, Zappa. It's always good to catch up. We'll talk to you on the weekend.
No worries, will do.